White House moves to prevent human cloning. Record flooding covers parts of the Ohio Valley. First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton tied to fundraising computer. Good Tuesday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. President Clinton, comparing the potential to clone humans to the harnessing of the atom, has banned the use of federal funds on such research, and he's asking the private sector to hold off as well.
I am urging the entire scientific and medical community, every foundation, every university, every industry that supports work in this area, to heed the federal government's example. I'm asking for a voluntary moratorium on the cloning of human beings until our Bioethics Advisory Commission and our entire nation have had a real chance to understand and debate the profound ethical implications of the latest advances.
Equally intriguing research is reported this morning in Newsday. Evan Balaban of the Neurosciences Institute in La Jolla, California, says he's been able to transfer instinctual behaviors from one kind of animal to another by transplanting brain tissue. In one experiment, nerve cells taken from chicken embryo were placed into quail embryos, and before they died 2 weeks after birth, the quail chicks showed head movements and crowing behavior of a chicken. New York University neurogeneticist Ralph Greenspan.
What this kind of study begins to open the door to is an understanding of how the nervous system produces different kinds of behaviors.
Many in the soggy Ohio Valley share this Kentucky woman sentiment.
Get me to higher ground.
Throughout the region, swollen rivers have overrun their banks or are about to, but officials now say the flood will not be as bad as the one in 1964. Correspondent John Roberts is knee-deep in Cincinnati.
Evacuations have been taking place for the last 24 hours along many of the river towns between Cincinnati and Louisville. People have been put up in shelters at local high schools. There really aren't many people living along the river here anymore.
One bit of good news, no rain is forecast for today. The death toll from 3 days of storms and flooding is now at 49. Half of them died in tornadoes in Arkansas, where President Clinton today visits Arkadelphia. It was partly leveled by 260-mile winds. Correspondent Diana Olick is there.
Many of the folks we spoke to here said they are waiting for federal money, and they're very eager to see the president come down here and see the damage that was wreaked upon their homes and upon their lives. The president is expected to tour Arkadelphia late this morning and then have a statement. He'll be walking around talking to people. One of the hardest hit areas in here was actually Clinton Street.
Show First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton encouraged an aide to pursue a plan to share White House computer information on Clinton supporters with the Democratic National Committee. The revelation is the latest in a growing controversy about improper and possibly illegal fundraising activities and shows Mrs. Clinton more involved than she has acknowledged. Backers of a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution are one vote shy of the 67 needed to pass it. And as correspondent Rob Armstrong reports, there's plenty of last-minute maneuvering.
Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott says he may still be able to change the amendment enough to win the single vote he needs to pass it, but it's a long shot. One of two key Democrats says the pressure is extreme.
The easy thing for me to do would be to capitulate to the current political pressures.
Tim Johnson of South Dakota, like Robert Torricelli of New Jersey, who announced his opposition to the amendment last week, campaigned for a constitutional amendment.
To cast a vote for this specific version of a balanced budget amendment, knowing what I know today, would constitute a betrayal of the people of my state. It would be a betrayal to my commitment and my love for our nation, and that I will not and I cannot do.
Unless one Democrat changes his or her vote this afternoon, the balanced budget constitutional amendment is doomed in the Senate for the third time in as many years. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In St. Louis, today's Democratic primary for mayor pits the incumbent against a former police chief. While both are black, KMOX newsman Charles Jacob reports race is very much an issue.
Mayor Freeman Bosley Jr.'s father, a city alderman, called ex-police chief Clarence Harmon, quote, a rented Negro. That's the kind of rhetoric that's inflamed this troubled city and angered Harmon.
It's distracted the voters. Unfortunately, Mr. Bosley's efforts have been to distract African-American voters. And it's tempted to make this an issue primarily of a referendum on black and white issues.
Harmon's support is mostly white. Mayor Bosley's support is overwhelmingly black. And the mayor's been stung with charges of reverse racism.
If I do something and a black person benefits, white people say everything I do is for the blacks. If I do something and a white person benefits, black people say everything I do is for the whites.
In a city half black, half white, and completely divided, newspaper columnist Greg Freeman sees only trouble ahead.
This election certainly has done nothing for race relations in St. Louis, other than make things a lot more tense.
And voter turnout may set a record. Charles Jaco for CBS News, St. Louis.
The drug problem is now exploding in the nation's elementary schools. A survey by the Partnership for a Drug-Free America reports marijuana use has doubled among kids in the fourth through sixth grades. The poll finds school children do not see the risk and are more likely to believe drugs are acceptable. It was David Kaczynski who first alerted the FBI to his fears that his brother Ted might be the Unabomber. Now David and his mother are helping defense efforts to suppress evidence, saying in an affidavit that the FBI twisted their words in applying for a warrant to search Kaczynski's Montana cabin. The defense has now asked a judge in Sacramento to throw out all evidence taken from the cabin. McGeorge School of Law professor Joshua Dressler says that would be a heavy blow to the government case.
It would seem as if almost everything of importance is in that cabin, so the exclusion of that evidence would be devastating to the prosecution if it were to be lost.
While motions to suppress evidence are routine, the judge could exclude it if persuaded by the defense. The index of leading economic indicators rose 0.3% in January. That figure, released this morning by the Conference Board, was better than most economists had expected. As Defense Secretary William Cohen arrived to visit U.S. bases in Germany, thousands of German civilians employed by the U.S. Army are in the second day of a strike against working conditions. As Cohen flew to Bonn, he told reporters U.S. troops will leave Bosnia for good in mid-1998, even if the fighting there were to resume. Rebels are advancing westward across Zaire, scattering thousands of Rwandan refugees trying to head home. Relief workers say the fighting has created a human column 31 miles long. Anti-nuclear protesters have attacked German police guarding a shipment of nuclear waste at Dannenberg. BBC newsman William Horsley says trucks are unable to reach their final destination.
Police acknowledge that the route along which they meant to escort the nuclear cargo is now impossible because of abandoned tractors on it and tunnels dug out just underneath the road surface. Across the contested countryside between the railhead and the storage site, the morning saw dozens of skirmishes with police. But the tactics of the police have drawn fire from leading conservative German politicians who say the protesters should not have been allowed to create no-go areas as they have.
The security operation will cost German taxpayers at least $39 million. A cargo rocket carrying supplies to the Russian space station Mir has failed to complete a planned docking. Experts at Mission Control are studying the problem. The National Transportation Safety Board today receives the official report on the accident that killed 7-year-old pilot Jessica Dubroff, her father, and her flight instructor. First indications were the plane was overweight on takeoff last April from Cheyenne, Wyoming. New home sales shot up to the highest level in nearly 11 years in January. Sales increased 8.6%. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down 10.78. And that's the roundup for Tuesday. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.